This week's Torah reading, we learn about the last years of Yaakov in the land of Egypt, the last 17 years of Yaakov in the land of Egypt. And before passing away, he called his son Yosef, and he asked him, please, when I pass away, do not bury me in Egypt. Take me to the land of Canaan, in the gravesite of my forefathers, and so on. And Yosef says, yes, I will do as you ask me. Right away, Yaakov says, swear to me. And Yosef swears, yes, I will do what you ask me, I swear. And that's the interchange between Yaakov and Yosef. Of course, we know the story. Yaakov passed away, and Yosef actually buried his father in the land of Canaan. And the story goes on. And then Yosef passed away, and before passing away, he makes the Jewish people swear that they will also take his own bones, that's what he calls himself, to the land of Canaan when he passes away and so on. When they left Egypt, they have to take their bones, and they did that and so on. Now, there's a very simple question over here. Didn't Yaakov trust his son Yosef? He just asked him, when I pass away, bury me in the land of Canaan. And Yosef said, in Hebrew, Anoichi esek idvarecho, I will do what you're asking me. And then swear to me. What do you mean swear to me? I just told you that he's going to do it. Don't you trust him? He was the viceroy of Egypt. He was a powerful person. He was a faithful son of Yaakov. What's the problem over here? So the commentaries, the classic commentaries say that, you know what? The swearing of Yaakov making Yosef swear wasn't really for Yosef. Yaakov was not untrusting Yosef. The truth is, Yaakov did it on behalf of Yosef because of the Pharaoh, because of Paray. Why? Because when actually, and the Torah says in this parsha, in this reading, when actually Yosef wanted to go to the land of Canaan in order to bury his father, he asked permission from the king, from Pharaoh, and Pharaoh ends up saying, go bury your father, kasherish biyacha, the way he made you swear. What does that mean? Did Pharaoh know about the swearing? What's going on over here? And Rashi and all the commentaries the Talmud says about this, our sages explain that actually Pharaoh did not want to let Yosef go to the land of Canaan to bury his father. Because when Yaakov came into Egypt, there was such a great blessing to Egypt. Pharaoh did not want Yaakov to be buried outside of Egypt. Leave him over here. To the point that they wanted to make him like as a god. They wanted to serve him and so on. But Yosef told his king, I swore. What do you mean you swore? Yeah, I swore my father I would bury him in the land of Canaan. So don't keep the swear. Forget about it. So Yosef said, wait a second, I swore also to you, my king, that I would not reveal that you do not know Hebrew, the holy language. When Pharaoh heard this and said, no, wait a second. So wait a second, keep my swearing, and also keep your father's swearing. Go bury your father the way you swore to him. So we do see that Yosef needed to swear in order to have an excuse in front of his king to take his father into the land of Canaan after passing away and so on. That's what the classic commentaries say. However, when you look at Rashi, the commentary of Rashi, that his work is what is in Hebrew called pshat, simple meaning of things, Rashi doesn't say anything. When Yaakov makes Yosef swear, Yaakov doesn't say anything at all. When Yaakov makes Yosef swear, Rashi doesn't say anything at all. Only later, when Yosef is talking to Pharaoh, there Rashi mentions this idea. Yeah, he swore, and therefore he has to go and bury his father in the land of Canaan. But at the moment, when other commentaries jump and say, wait a second, what's going on with Yaakov and Yosef? Doesn't he trust him? He makes him swear. No, it's for Pharaoh. Over there, in that moment, Rashi doesn't say a word. That means that in the simple way of reading, it has to be understood by itself. It's such an easy thing. It's such a simple thing. It has to be understood by itself. There was no untrust from Yaakov to Yosef. There was something else. What was it there? So the Rebbe explains in a very simple way and very powerful way that the huge difference when a person basically says, yeah, I will do this, or when a person actually swears, he will do this. When a person says, yeah, I'll do it, like Yosef said, I will do your words, a person that is not really thinking about this all the time, he just has it in, well, you know, in the back of the mind, he knows he has to do something, but right now he's busy, he's into other things, he's not really conscious of this thing the whole time. But when a person swears that he's going to do something, this thing is really not in the back of the head, really on, in the front of the head, so to speak. He's really conscious of this all the time because my life is in this. I swore I would do this. My word is over here. So he's constantly conscious of something, waiting to the moment when he can actually fulfill this. Of course, Yosef had to wait until his father passes away and so on. But as soon as he could do it, he went and he spoke with Pharaoh and he took his father and so on. He did what he swore he would do. So that's the difference. That's why Yaakov made Yosef swear on behalf of Yosef himself, for Yosef, not for Pharaoh. Because Yaakov wanted Yosef to think about this all the time. Have this in mind. Do not take your mind out of me. Don't stop thinking about me and what you have to do with my body when I pass away and so on. Now, having said all of this, even so, still remains the question. Why wasn't it enough with the words of Yosef? I will do what you're saying. Why wasn't it enough for Yaakov? Now you have to swear. What's the point over here? So in order to understand this in a more profound way, swearing is something that goes beyond intellect. When a person talks, whatever you say, yeah, I'll do this, I'll do that, there could be difficulties, there could be factors, situations in which you actually change your mind, and which actually can justify why you're not going to do what you said you would do. Because of this or because of that, whatever. It's all into the realm of intellect, of reasoning, of understanding things. And Yosef was a person that was inside Egypt. He was the viceroy of Egypt. He sold grain to everybody. He was really in charge of the whole country. So he was into the country, into the thing. And it could be that might be things that prevent him from actually taking his father, the body of his father, and buried in the proper place and so on. So Yaakov wanted to give it like some kind of a push, some kind of a lifting up Yosef by swearing him, making him swear. Why? Because a swear, again, it's way beyond intellect. It's not something we really understand. You put your life into this, and whatever situations arise, I don't really care. This is your life. Not only you have to be thinking about this all the time, but this is way beyond intellect, way beyond whatever factors can come up. And Yaakov, actually, he lived in this way. Even when he was in Egypt, he wasn't really in exile. Why? Because he was in the north of Egypt, the land of Goshen, that's what it was called. Apart from everybody else, with his animals, the cattle and so on, he wasn't really into Egypt. Yosef was into Egypt, so Yaakov wanted to lift him up in order for him to have the power of later talking to Pharaoh and saying, yeah, I'm going to take my father. I'm really out of this place. That's why in the moment that Yaakov made Yosef swear, Rashi doesn't say a thing. It's obvious. Yaakov wants him to be really involved into thinking about the burial place of Yaakov. Now, what can we learn of this? There are a few ideas. But one of the ideas is the way a person has to think about God is not something occasional. I have my life, and from time to time, yeah, there's godliness. Yeah, there's a mission. Yeah, but I'm busy right now. I'm watching Netflix. I'll think about it later. No. The way we have to deal with our connection to God is in a way of a swearing, shevua in Hebrew, quote unquote. What does that mean? It has to be a constant thing. That means your life is godliness. And sometimes you have to do other things, which if you really want to delve into it, there are no other things. There are laws in the code of Jewish law, the Shulchan Aruch, even how to go to the bathroom. There are no aspects out of godliness in this world. Nothing, even a garbage dump. That's also godliness. There are rules, what to do there, what not to do there, what to think about Torah, talk about Torah or not. There are no things left, so to speak, to whatever occasions happened. There's no such a thing in Judaism. And this we learn from the way Yaakov wanted Yosef to think about his particular burial place. This also has relationship with Mashiach. There's not such a thing. I mean, one of the 13 principles of Judaism is to think about Mashiach. But it's not just, from time to time I think about Mashiach, but right now I'm busy. No. We have to expect him kol hayom, the whole day, every single time. And even if he really takes a long time, I will wait for him. This is the text of the Rambam. The Rambam says like this, I will wait for him all the day. The whole day, not just every day, but rather all the day. And this is the way we have to think about God in our life and our mission toward the whole world, toward God and so on, toward other people. It's not just from time to time, a certain moment in the day. It has to be the whole day.